Please sit. Let's pray together. Lord, please take my words and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you and the desire to serve you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Good morning. As Chris said, I'm Becky Davis, and I'm just starting my journey on my training to be a licensed lay minister, and this is my second time, so I'm a bit nervous, but I'm sure you'll all be very kind. This morning we heard from the Gospel of Luke the announcement of the coming of Jesus, the Son of God, who would be born to Mary, a young virgin. She was just a normal young woman living in quiet obscurity. Little would she have expected to be part of the fulfilment of God's promise, his coming to earth in an unadorned package of human innocence, from the very start entering into human life at the level of everyday experience with everyday people. In Gabriel's message, we hear that Jesus is coming to redeem. In verses 31 to 32, we read about the miracle of it, the conception, the meaning of Jesus' coming. Mary is told, "And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High." That name Jesus, given by Mary according to God's instruction, means the Lord saves. And so the name itself promised a saviour. Indeed, through Jesus, people were and continue to be healed. Demons were and continue to be banished. And sins were and continue to be forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ, born of Mary the Virgin, did and continues to save. We hear that Christ is coming to reign. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Long, long before the birth of Jesus, God had promised David that his kingdom would last forever. And the coming of Jesus, who is a direct descendant of David, fulfilled that promise. Mary was ultimately very human and was naturally surprised and confused by the angel's appearance and the announcement, momentarily baffled in fact. God stepped into her life and called her into service quite unexpectedly. But despite being perplexed, Mary remained faithful and open to God's will. She didn't procrastinate or question God's reasoning or try to wriggle out of what she'd been called to do. Slightly earlier in Luke's Gospel, the angel Gabriel had come down to earth to announce another birth, that of John the Baptist. Zechariah was the recipient of that message, and his life experiences, situation and standing were far removed from Mary's. He was a mature, married man, a priest, who would have enjoyed a high social status, and he and his wife Elizabeth were well known for their holiness. In many ways, he might seem far better suited to doing a special task for God than the young, inexperienced Mary. The couple had prayed for a child for many years, but they'd passed this age where they thought that it would be possible, so they'd stopped hoping or praying. Zechariah heard his announcement in the middle of a busy and special day for him in his bustling religious community. He'd been granted the rare privilege of being the priest who would enter the holy place to offer incense to God on behalf of all the people that day. And as he went behind the screen to carry out the task, to his surprise and terror, he finds himself face to face with the angel Gabriel. But when the angel told him that Elizabeth would become pregnant and that they would have a child who they'd called John, Zechariah's age spoke more loudly to him than God's promise, and for that fleeting moment when called to do so, he was not willing or perhaps able to trust God. Mary, on the other hand, could see what Zechariah could not. that physical limitations do not limit God. And God sometimes accomplishes his will in unexpected ways. There is nothing that God cannot do. Despite being young, poor, and female, all characteristics that to people of her day would make her seem unusable by God for any major task, God chose Mary for one of the most important acts of obedience that he'd ever demanded of anyone. And she rose to the challenge. In Mary's time, any young unmarried girl who became pregnant was at risk of disaster. There was potential of being sold into slavery, of being stoned to death. She could have been married off quickly or banished from her home and village. Unless the father of the child agreed to marry her, she would probably remain unmarried for life, making her vulnerable to a life of hardship and poverty. Indeed, if her own family rejected her, she could be forced into begging or prostitution just to stay alive. And Mary, with her story about being made pregnant by the Holy Spirit, also ran the risk of being considered insane or a liar. But despite the risks, Mary's response was simply, "Let it be with me according to your word." Okay, whatever you say. She knew that God was asking her to serve him, and she willingly obeyed. And through her submission to his will became part of God's plan to bring about our salvation. Of course she was confused at first. "How can this be?" she asked. She knew she was a virgin and that this meant conception was impossible. To answer her confusion, the angel told her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." As confirmation, Gabriel told Mary that her cousin Elizabeth, who was well past childbearing age, was also pregnant. "For there is nothing that God cannot do." Mary's faith and humility made this decision. It seemed simple for her. She humbly accepted her task, saying, "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be as you've said." I don't know about you, but personally, I find it all too easy, pretty much on a daily basis, to feel that my age, ability, experience, status, or intellect make me a very unlikely candidate for God's service. That deep, dark well of not enoughness can make us fearful of even trying sometimes. But that fear doesn't come from God. And we can make the conscious decision not to let that fear direct us. Often it's easy to think of sin as something incredibly bad that one actively does. But I know that the thing most likely to divert me from willingness to serve God is that more passive and stealthy assailant, fear. So when meditating on today's gospel reading, what struck me as being remarkable about the young virgin Mary is that she was so quietly and calmly heroic in her acceptance of God's will for her. Her faith in God's goodness was so much stronger than her fear. Mary, in her humility, did not let fear deter her or even give rise to a moment's pause. Not the fear of being criticised or ridiculed, or the fear of being humiliated, falsely accused, disbelieved, despised or persecuted. She simply listened to the message from God and chose to trust him to do his will. One of my favourite prayers is the Do It Anyway prayer, which was reportedly written on the wall of Mother Teresa's home for children in Calcutta. The last line of this reads, "In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them, other humans, anyway." And Mary, a virgin, a slip of a girl, powerless to protect herself from the potential and likely condemnation of her community, simply leant past any fears concerning human reactions and looked instead directly towards God. She opened her servant heart to him and his will and kept it between herself and God. As part of our Holy Habits series at St. Mary's, we've been considering how to cultivate our own servant hearts, working humility into our lives through the discipline of service, embracing interruption, making ourselves available, sometimes for mundane and small interruptions, and at other times larger, life-changing interruptions as we're called by God to serve. To add to life on earth, not just take from it. In Paul's letters to the Romans, which is where the other reading came from today, Paul explains what it means to live in complete submission to the Lord, using spiritual gifts to serve others, to genuinely love others, and to be good citizens, building each other up in the faith and extending special sensitivity to those who are weak. Like Mary and Zechariah, we are challenged to have servant hearts, to willingly do what God asks of us, trusting in his goodness, his love, and his power, to respond to his call to glorify him with daily acts of obedience. And our small acts of love and obedience are important. They can be used for God, by God, for big things. I'm convinced that where there are willing hearts, people will always serve God, even if it's so anonymously that even they don't know where and how God has used them. So Mary chose to walk with God, trusting and not questioning what would happen to her, or trying to exact guarantees or promises of how things would turn out, just as a small child might trust their parents. Mary was told by the angel Gabriel that she was highly favoured. This favour of God is when he does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Mary was in the position to receive that favour because she was ready and willing to journey with God by faith, not by sight. The challenge that Mary seems to have spoken to me this Advent is one regarding willingness. Her still, small, calm, but unfaltering voice seems to ask, "Do you have a servant heart? Are you willing to listen to God? Will you be obedient? Will you lean past your fears? And will you say in your daily prayers with heartfelt conviction, 'Your will, God, not mine, be done'?"